In New York, the State Office of the Medicaid Inspector General is one of the watchdogs responsible for ensuring that Medicaid dollars are only spent on eligible expenditures, and this is an important task since billions upon billions of federal and state dollars are spent on Medicaid each year. But some healthcare providers and state lawmakers argue the office needs to reform its approach and abandon what they describe as punitive and unfair auditing practices. For more on these concerns, which are the subject of an ongoing legislative push, we're joined by Assembly Health Committee Chair Amy Paulin, a Westchester County Democrat. Welcome back to the show, Assemblymember.
Thank you.
So what types of activities or requirements from the New York State Office of the Medicaid Inspector General fall under this idea that they might be punitive or unfair and are ripe for reform?
There has been an overuse of OMIG coming into healthcare agencies, healthcare facilities, doing an audit, and they'll find a human error. They'll find an inverted number. They'll find, you know, a ministerial problem, and then they overcharge or they charge highly for that error. So it's not fraud. It's not abuse. They haven't been overpaid to a significant number. It's a technical little problem. And because they are charging at times little facilities such an amount of money, it threatens their survival. So it's been a constant issue. It's been increasing. We saw one provider in the city of New York, an abortion provider, almost have to declare bankruptcy and go out of business for one of these very small technical problems. And we have to stop it. It's just OMIG has gone amok. And at this point, I think they get excited with their contribution to the budget. So they're very overzealous. So what we know is that we have to change the law to restrict them because they're not restricting themselves. And we have to do it as part of the budget process because when we tried to do it outside of the budget process, it was a budget issue. Why is it a budget issue? Because they are overzealous and they bring in all this revenue. You change some of the definitions to hone them in and some of the revenue is less. But it should be less because what they're supposed to do is combat fraud and abuse. They're not supposed to take a good provider, someone who's a sole provider of something such as an abortion provider in the city of New York, and put them out of business. That's not what they're supposed to do. And that is what's happening now. So OMIG has got to be controlled, and we have to address this in the budget.
So you made reference to the idea that they're going after typos or clerical errors. Are these things, though, that the providers shouldn't be aware of, or they're these things that OMIG is surprising these people with in last second changes or new requirements? Because it seems like these are things that the providers should be aware of.
They're found during an audit process, but you can make a small error. Instead of a $90.01 payment, you could put $90 and forget the 1 cent. And then because that's carried through till the end, that 1 cent can generate an error that's found in an audit. You know, it's sounding so small when you talk about a penny, but that's how minutia the errors that they're finding are. And that's the level that we're talking about eliminating. If you see some of the errors that they're finding, they're absurd. Mm-hmm. And yet the penalty is so severe because it's not taking into account that small human error by leaving off the penny, by leaving off the dollar, you know, by leaving off the what's clearly not fraud. You know, it's clearly a mistake. It's clearly, you know, an overwhelmed worker in putting in into their computer and leaving off the 17 cents. You know, on the $1,000 expense, the 43 cents that they rounded up to 45 because the 3 looked like a 5. You know, it's those human error problems that we need to take out of the system that are costing our agencies money and grief. It's not that the audit can't point them out, you know, and have them fix, But the penalties for those small errors, ones that are not abuse and fraud, ones that are clearly human error, should not be putting the that financial burden on our facilities. We just need to stop that.
Well, before we move on, let me reintroduce you for listeners just joining us. We're speaking with the Assembly Health Committee Chair, Amy Paulin. She is a Westchester County Democrat and sponsors legislation that would curtail some of the auditing and penalties that the State Office of Medicaid Inspector General can utilize. Is there any concern that by putting a leash, so to speak, on OMEG, you're going to curtail their ability to flag things that might ultimately be indicators of broader problems? You're saying these are not indicators of abuse, but one of the proponents of the reforms, Angels in Your Home, is a home care outlet that has been cited by DOH for egregious failures to meet regulatory standards. So is it possible that they are stopping a slippery slope with these more minute details?
No, I don't think that. I mean, we certainly don't want to do that. What we're looking to do is to make the definition of overpayment in the bill consistent with the federal definition of overpayment so that it's consistent across all governments and that OMIG doesn't have the ability to overcharge beyond what we think is appropriate, what would deem fraud and abuse. You know, certainly they should be, and we want to encourage them to look for patterns of abuse. You know, we don't believe that the structure of the way we did the bill prevents that from happening. What we do think is that the structure of the bill would prevent them from aggressively challenging the financial stability of a small agency. That's who's doing a good job, who merely had an inadvertent error, who merely had a ministerial error. You know, OMEG is saying now that they have no control over when they find an error, they have to charge them, you know, a penalty. We want to be able to say there has got to be a little more flexibility in that evaluation. And since they're claiming they're unable to do that, we're going to have to do it in law so that I would argue it gives them more flexibility to not charge those that are human errors, those that are technical errors, those that are not fraud and abuse. We put them, we created OMIG. We created them to stop fraud and abuse. We didn't create them to put our healthcare institutions in financial distress for small things.
So a nearly identical version of this bill was vetoed in 2022, and in the aftermath of that, the Medicaid Inspector General's office was directed to make some reforms to their practices, including better engagement of stakeholders, conduct an internal review of their practices, and make sure that they were considering the financial impact on providers as well as the continuity of care when conducting their oversight. In light of that directive from Governor Hochul, do you feel like the office has made any meaningful changes?
Absolutely not.
And why? Because I think of something like the financial hardship. Someone can appeal an audit. They can protest it in front of an administrative judge. So it seems like there are avenues to say, hey, OMIG's going over the top here with these fines, and this is too much for my facility to handle. So aren't the avenues available?
They may be available on paper, but they're not being used. The agencies do not feel there has been any change at all whatsoever, which is why we have to negotiate it when we have some strength, which is in the budget process.
And in terms of moving forward on something like this, you talked about how this would be in line with federal regulations. Is there any concern that these reforms could potentially jeopardize our ability to access federal dollars moving forward if it's determined that we're not scrutinizing our expenditures enough?
No, we are in fact making the state identical to what the federal law requires. So no, there should be absolutely no jeopardy involved at all.
And as we mentioned, this was something that was vetoed as a standalone bill. It's now being discussed in the context of the budget. What are those discussions like? Is this something that has gained any sort of traction in the talks with the second floor?
unfortunately, the budget process hasn't allowed us to do. We're not up to it. The budget's been very slow. So maybe as it picks up speed, we'll be talking about many of the issues that we haven't addressed yet, but this one has not been addressed yet.
And if it is something that does get on the table and is enacted, is this something where you expect to see a benefit right away, or would there need to be some time for OMIG to, I guess, promulgate regulations or to reform its practices as you see fit?
I would say day one, they would have to start reforming their practices if we change some of the definitions involved in what their authority is.
And do you feel, based on how they've policed in the past, that the agency can pivot in that direction, that they have a mindset that can focus on the areas that you want them to focus on and avoid the others?
I hope so. And I know that we'll be hearing from the healthcare providers if they're not. So, you know, it's a process, as all things that we do here are.
Well, we've been speaking with Assembly Health Committee Chair Amy Paulin. She is a Westchester County Democrat. Assembly member, thanks for visiting us in the studio.
Thank you so much for having me.
And for more Capitol Press Room content, visit capitolpressroom.org or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. And if you listen to us from an Apple device, make sure to leave us a rating and a review so it helps other people find the show.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Resorts World New York. With over 1 million square feet of space to play, relax, and celebrate, Resorts World New York City hosts more than 5 million visitors a year. That makes Resorts World a significant social and economic partner for local businesses and residents alike. Through its operations and outreach programs, Resorts World has generated more than $4 billion for the state educational system and 1,400 jobs for the people of Queens. More information at rwnewyork.com.